Our scripture text is taken from Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And I will read to you from verse 9 to verse 22. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, right till the end of that chapter. Will there be another global flood? Is the question we want to answer this morning. And so let us turn to Genesis 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. A door of the ark shalt thou set in the sight thereof. With lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every sort shalt come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto me of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now it is a common knowledge to all of us that the weather in the world is very, very unusual. And we have also experienced very strange weather of late, haven't we? Southern Malaysia suffered its worst flooding in 100 years. And last December, Singapore recorded the third highest rainfall in 75 years. And environmentalists have attributed the freakish weather that we are experiencing today all over the world to global warming. Global warming. Such a term is quite familiar to us already because we read it in the papers, don't we? Just yesterday in the Straits Times, on the front page, we are told that the effects of global warming, the effects of global warming are unstoppable, cannot be stopped. So we should brace ourselves for many of such things to come. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change of the United Nations predicted a bleak future for the world. 2,500 scientists from 130 countries, they all say that we could expect worsening killer heat waves and floods, devastating droughts and stronger hurricanes and tropical storms, global temperatures and sea levels will also continue to rise. And environmentalists and weather scientists warn that with the melting of the ice caps and the ice sheets of the glaciers and the rise of the sea level, all these things might just trigger another ice age, another global deluge. And the question we want to ask is, will there be another global flood? Now, in the first place, was there ever a global flood? Some people don't believe that there was ever a global flood. The atheistic scientists and those who are theistic evolutionists deny that there was ever a global destruction by water. And how do they explain Genesis, Noah and the Ark? Well, they say the first 11 chapters of Genesis are not historical, not factual, they are myths. That's how they explain it away. They deny the Word of God. They deny that there is a God who is a judge, you see. They don't believe that there is a God. Indeed, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God exists, He controls, and He is a judge. And those who are theistic evolutionists, they also explain away the Genesis flood, that it is only a local flood, not a global one. Well, this morning we want to ask, was there ever a global flood? Another question we want to ask is, will there be another one? And the third question we want to ask is, and try to answer is, will there be another global destruction? Will this world be destroyed another time? So these are the three questions we want to answer this morning. Was there ever a global flood? And the answer is yes. Once upon a time, there was a global flood. And we have just read it in the scriptures in Genesis 6. If we study the Bible honestly and reverently, we cannot help but see that the world was once upon a time destroyed by a watery catastrophe. In the book of Genesis, we read the flood. We read of Noah's ark. And the Genesis flood covered every inch of this earth, every bit of it. And it drowned every living creature that was on this earth. And that is a fact. And only Noah and his family, three sons and three daughters, and Noah and his wife, eight persons altogether, were saved from this catastrophe, from this destruction. And of course, all the animals that were in the ark. And we read this in Genesis 6, verse 5 to 7, right? And why did the Lord destroy the world the first time? It is because of the wickedness and the evil that was in the world. And is the world today equally wicked and evil? Is it not time for another destruction and judgment? When we see the world today, in fact, the world is very ripe for judgment. Will God destroy the world another time? And if the Lord were to destroy this world, will it be by water? Now, firstly, we want to be very clear that in Genesis, we are told that the flood was a global or universal one, not a local one, right? It was not a small flood. It was a huge one which covered the whole world. And how do we know this? How do we know this? Well, there are several things that we read in Genesis. Firstly, we know that the flood was global because of the extent of the waters that covered the earth, the extent of the flood. You're in Genesis chapter 7. Genesis 7 verse 19 and 20 tells us, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered." Okay. And we want to notice all these global or universal expressions. All the high hills under the whole heaven. All the high hills under the whole heaven. And since water must seek its own level, the flood must have been global for all the mountains under the whole heaven to be covered, isn't it? So these two very, very comprehensive universal expressions, all the high hills under the whole heaven, tell us that the flood was global in extent. Everything was covered. Surely when all the mountains are covered, everything that is under the mountains were all covered also, right? Submerged in water. The second thing that we also read in Genesis, it tells us that the flood was global. Was that the flood lasted very long. Its duration. How long did the flood lasted? Well, it lasted for 371 days. 371 days. Slightly over a year. And take note that the Genesis flood attained its maximum mountain covering height in 6 weeks. And then remained at that level for another 16 weeks. Now, if there was such a long rain spell, surely it must point to a global deluge. And such a long rain spell would tell us that there must have been a puncturing of the pre-flood canopy. You know, before the flood, the earth was watered or moisturized by a firmament. And the mist of this firmament watered the earth. There was no rain before the time of the flood. But there was this canopy, water vapor canopy, that watered the earth. And it must have been a puncturing of this water vapor canopy, this firmament that we read of in Genesis chapter 1, that has caused this flooding on the earth. And we know also that local floods don't last for so long, right? They come and in a matter of 2 or 3 days, they are gone. But this flood in Genesis lasted for 371 days. And the rain kept pouring for all those weeks. Surely it must have been a global flood when we consider its duration. A third thing we read also from Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 to 16 is the size of the ark. This tells us that the flood must have been global. And God said unto Noah in verses 13 to 16, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. And gave the measurements. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third story shalt thou make it. Now look at the size of the ark. 300 by 50 by 30 cubits. And then there are three stories to this vessel, this container. And the measurements tell us that this vessel, the ark, was no sampan, no small boat, right? It was a huge, huge vessel. And so what is the size? So all these cubits, how do they translate in modern terms? Dr. Wickham and Dr. Henry Morris, in their book, The Genesis Flood, made a calculation based upon the shorter cubit. Right. The cubits, they have two measurements. Either the longer cubit is 20.4 inches. One cubit is 20.4 inches. And there's another cubit, the shorter cubit, which is 17.5 inches. So let's take the shorter cubit, 17.5 inches. Based upon the shorter cubit, you know how big the ark would be? Okay. According to this standard, the ark was 437.5 feet long. 437.5 feet long, 72.9 feet wide, and 43.75 feet high. Can you imagine how big this ark is? This would be equivalent, right? The total deck area for the ark would be 95,700 square feet. 95,700 square feet. And that would be equivalent to 85-room HDB flats. 85-room HDB flats. That would be a whole point block, wouldn't it be? Whole point block. You can just imagine how big the ark is. So it was a huge seaworthy vessel, not a small boat. It was humongous. And if the Lord had told Noah to build such a huge vessel, the ark, surely it must mean a global catastrophe was coming, right? So that not only his family, but all the animals had to be saved, so that when the flood was over, they could repopulate and multiply on the earth, right? You know how long it took to build the ark? Over a century to build this ark. That's how big, right, this ark is. And in Genesis 2, 5 to 6, it tells us. You turn to Genesis 2, 5 to 6. We are told that there was no rain on the earth at that time. Before the flood came, the world did not experience any rain. In Genesis 2, 5 to 6, we read, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Right? The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And from all this, we see the faith of Noah, don't we? No rain upon the earth. God says he will send rain. And this rain will be so much that it will cover the whole earth and will destroy every living creature. And we see the faith of Noah here. He believed in what God said, although he had not seen rain at that time. And how can it cover the whole earth? Well, because God says so, it must be so. And God will do what he had said he will do. And that was the faith of Noah. And Noah, a man of faith, a believer, believed in God. And was counted to him for righteousness. And that's why he, his family got saved. The whole world was destroyed. The whole world was very wicked and evil at the time. Rebelling against God, not obeying his commandments. And that's why in Hebrews 11 verse 7 tells us, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Surely if it was just a local flood, a small boat would have been enough for Noah and his family, 8 persons together, and they can row away to another part, right, of the earth and be saved if the flood was just a local one. But no, it was a global one. There will be no dry land on the earth. Everything will be covered, and that's why there must be this ark, right, to save all of them. So there was a global flood, for sure. But will there be another global flood? Will it happen again? The Bible tells us that there will be no more global flooding. No more global flood. God has destroyed the world once upon a time with a global flood. And he says, "I will no longer destroy the world another time with this watery catastrophe." And how do we know this? In Genesis chapter 9. Look at Genesis 9, 12 to 15. And God says here, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Right. Genesis 9, verse 12 to 15. "And I do set my bow in the cloud, and this bow is the rainbow." The rainbow. and shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth. The bowl shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Okay. So God gave the rainbow and set the rainbow. And today we still see the rainbow, don't we? It has been 4,500 years since God destroyed the world the first time. From that time, the rainbow came in existence. And today we still see the rainbow, which continues to tell us of two things. One, there was a global flood. Before the flood, there was no rain. No rain means no rainbow. Right? Rainbow is caused by water droplets. It's only when rain comes, then you see the rainbow after the rain. So the rainbow also tells us there was a global flood. It also tells us that there'll be no more global flood in the future. God promised, I will not destroy the world by flood ever again. Right? That was His promise. And we know that God is true to His word. He will always keep His promises, and He has kept His promises even till today. Now, God did not promise that there'll be no more local floods. You know, if in Genesis it was a local flood, then God has broken His promise, isn't it? Because we see a lot of local floods today. We saw it very recently. God has broken His promises if it was just a local flood. No, God didn't say no more local floods. There'll be many local floods due to rain and so on and so forth. But there'll be no more what? Global flooding. Right? And again, the rainbow tells us there was a global flood. It was a global flood. But no more, not anymore, ever. That is the promise of the Lord. What will happen next? Will the world be destroyed once again? And this is the bad news. The bad news is yes, the world is going to be destroyed again, one more time. And this time the destruction is final. Right? It's final. And the destruction of the world the next time will not be by water. The Bible tells us it will be by fire. You know, this whole talk of global warming. I mean, it's a prelude. It is a sign that this world is not right with God. And this world is warming up to what? To a fiery judgment and destruction to come. Okay. It will only get warmer and warmer. And one day it will be destroyed. God will destroy it by fire. The whole earth will melt with fervent heat. And this global warming is a sign of the end times, of the last days. If we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. Here Peter warns us. You know, in those days, in the days of Noah, the preacher of righteousness, was preaching, water will come, this world will be drowned, everyone will be destroyed. Believe in Christ and be saved. Repent and believe and be saved. No one would believe. You must have thought Noah was crazy. You talk about rain and water. This whole world will be drowned and we all be destroyed. You must be crazy. Because there's never such thing as rain. And for 120 years, Noah was preaching, and he kept on preaching, and they kept on scoffing and laughing at him, until the day God shut the door of the ark, and then the waters from above came down, and the waters from underneath the earth gushed up, and all were destroyed. They were laughing no more. How about the future? You say, oh, Christ has not come back yet. Christ says He's coming back. He's not coming back. He says the world will be destroyed. It's not been destroyed. So long already. So many thousands of years. Therefore, the world will go on and on. No more judgment, no more destruction. Nothing can be further from the truth. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 to 7, we read, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Okay. And again, this verse tells us that Noah's flood, the Genesis flood, was a global one. And the next destruction was likened to it, like the first one, in a global scale. Right? So there's a parallel here. And Peter also understood the flood in Genesis to be universal in extent. And he applied that to the global destruction by fire that is to come. So what is in store for mankind in the future? Well, God is going to judge the world again. That is the bad news. And this time he'll use fire. No more water, but fire. And when we look at this world is not getting better and better, but from bad to worse, morally speaking, isn't it? And just like in the days of Noah, the world today is becoming increasingly wicked. And 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're not just talking also about the world at large or outside. Even in the church, there's wickedness. There's evil. There is a falling away from the faith. A denying of the truth. A doubting and a denying of God. They don't believe. They are faithless. They profess faith, but they do not possess faith. They deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny the miracles of Christ. They deny the inerrancy of the scriptures. They deny the resurrection of Christ. They deny his substitutionary atonement. They deny practically every fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith. And they call themselves, I'm Christian. And if we see such wickedness and evil and rebellion in the church, how much more the world? You can expect even worse. Are we not living in such a generation today? Is not the world ripe for another judgment? I think it is. We cannot escape this fact. We read this in the papers. How the world is such a terrible place today. Just like in the days of Noah. And if we ask, why is not God not judging the world right now? Why, as believers, those of us who want to live godly lives for the Lord are facing all kinds of oppression and persecution and ridicule and scoffing. Lord, just come right now and take us home. You see, the Lord is not so impatient as we are. He is very patient. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. When he says he will come, he will surely come. But why is he waiting right now? Well, you know, God gave 120 years for the people in the days of Noah to repent. And they didn't. Well, God right now still is waiting, giving time for people to repent of their ways, to believe on him, to walk by faith, not by sight. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so while the Lord is waiting, being very patient for men to repent, we likewise should also cooperate with the Lord by preaching the good news of salvation, that they might know the truth. The truth might make them see, you see, and set them free. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we shouldn't be impatient either. We should also patiently wait as the Lord is waiting, and we should zealously also preach the good news of Jesus Christ to our family members, to our friends, our colleagues, and even to strangers. But the Lord says he will come. And when he comes, it will be sudden. It will be sudden. it will take the world by surprise. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says this. 1 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. A thief comes, and the Lord says, I will come as a thief in the night. A thief comes unannounced at an unexpected time, and he will take the world by surprise, because the world is not expecting any judgment to come, you see. Just like in the days of Noah. No rain, therefore, no rain ever, no rain will ever come. Well, God says, no, judgment will come. And even today, say, no, the world has been going on for thousands of years, all these generations. Oh, there'll be no judgment. It will just go on and on. No, God says there'll be a stop. There'll be an end. Fire is coming. Judgment is coming. And when it comes, it'll come. And the world will not be expecting. And dear friends, we don't want to belong to that group, right? That doubt God's word, deny Him, rebel against Him, and say, no, we don't believe there's any judgment to come. We are not like the world. We are children of God and we are children of light. In other words, God has given us His words, the many prophecies in the Bible, to understand our God and what He is about to do in this world. So that we walk with understanding, we walk with knowledge. And surely with the knowledge that He has given us to us in His word, we are really expecting the Lord to come at any moment. Right? We are not ignorant, dear friends. We will not want to be like those who say in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Well, the world will say peace and safety. When things are not going well, they say peace, peace. When there is no peace, well, there is no peace really on earth until you make peace. We make peace with God. And there will be no true worldwide peace until Jesus comes back, you see. The Prince of Peace will establish true peace on the earth and He will reign over the whole earth for 1,000 years. Only then there will be true, physical, you know, global peace. And we expect Jesus to come at any moment. And it shouldn't catch us by surprise. Many things in this world can catch us by surprise. For example, we can lose our job. Just like this, right? One day, out of the blue, your boss calls you in the office and say, you're fired. And that can happen. We can lose all our money and all our properties and our goods just like this. And it can come as a surprise. It can catch us by surprise. For example, in the papers, we read of this antique shop which was broken into. And the owner lost millions of dollars. All these antiques was stolen. And although he had an alarm system, it was just looted and taken away. And all of a sudden, okay, what else can take us by surprise? We may just lose our home, just like this, isn't it? Floods came and destroyed many homes in Malaysia. You just lose all of them, just like this, when the flood comes. And then we may also lose our life very suddenly. Reported in the papers how this university professor just dropped dead, collapsed on his table, and died of a heart attack. And just happened like this. So many things can take us by surprise. But as believers, such things, especially the second coming of Christ and the destruction of the world to come, should not take us by surprise. We should be expecting it. We should be looking out for it. For the day of our redemption draweth nigh. And we are eagerly looking forward to it, you see. That should be our spirit and our attitude towards the destruction of the world to come. We should always be prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually, because we know that God is in control. And once we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, no harm will befall us. And He will bless us with eternal life. One day He will take us home.
The Lord takes care of us, and He does all things well. Okay?
So the world may be unprepared for the coming judgment and destruction, but we believers should always be prepared. You know, we are called the BP Church. BP Church stands for what? Not just Bible Presbyterian. BP can also stand for be prepared. Be prepared. We ought to be prepared for the coming of Christ. To be ready for Him when He comes. We may not be ashamed when we see Him face to face. And the Lord is coming back very, very soon. It is imminent. It can be at any moment. And since the time when Israel became a nation once again in 1948, after, you know, 1,900 years of scattering and dispersion, and God promised, yes, they will be chastised, but I will restore them, and they will be brought back into the Holy Land, into the Promised Land. And since 1948, they have been in the land already. Israel must be back in the Promised Land before the Lord can return. For when He comes, He will step on the Mount of Olives, and all the Jews will see Him. And the elect Jews will confess Him. Confess that He is their Messiah, the Christ that they had crucified, and they will believe and repent. It must happen. And it will be a time when God will deliver Israel from her enemies, for the whole world will go against Israel. And do we not see such anti-Israel and anti-Semitic sentiments today? Is not Israel the center of world trouble and turmoil? Everything is focused on Israel. And now that Israel is back, Israel is a nation once again. The stage is really already set for Christ to come back at any time. The situation will become worse and worse in the Middle East. There will be no peace, no matter how much how many attempts at peace they want to get at. If there is peace, it's going to be a temporary one, a false peace. And the Jews in those days will cry out for their deliverer, their Messiah. And He will come back to destroy all His enemies and judge this world. I believe that time is very soon. The stage is already set, you see. The point is, are we ready? Are we ready as His church? And the Lord comes back in the clouds to take us home. Are we ready to be raptured to meet Him? What are we doing right now with our lives? What did Peter tell us? How can we be prepared? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 to 14, we read, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." The desires of our heart must be towards heaven. That's where our treasure is, not on earth. And where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. So the things that we have on this earth, the material things, will all melt with fervent heat, will all be dissolved, will all be destroyed. But what we do for the Lord, our faith in the Lord, will last and will last forever. And the treasures in heaven, no thief can steal, no rust can destroy and take away from us. It'll be forever. So how are we living our life for the Lord? Our treasures on this earth, or are they in heaven? So let us be saved from the wrath to come. And if you are still outside God's kingdom, you still do not believe in Jesus Christ, and you're not sure if you were to die today or if the world ends today, you'll be in heaven or not, then you better make sure today. Please don't wait. Because we can never tell. Just like the people in the days of Noah could not tell when the water will come. But when the water finally came, it was too late. And the fire may come, and the Lord may come at any moment. Don't wait. It may come next minute or next hour. And if you hear God's voice this morning, do not harden your heart.
Do not delay. Salvation is today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the ark of salvation is already ready. What is the ark of salvation? The ark of salvation today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ark of salvation. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you enter into his ark, your sins will be forgiven. He will give you eternal life. So that when destruction comes, you will not be destroyed together with the world. You will enter into God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and you will be saved. Jesus died for our sins on the cross, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And this gospel is preached again and again since the day Christ accomplished that salvation for us 2,000 years ago already. And this has been preached again and again, and you have been hearing this again and again. Do you believe? Please do not laugh at the gospel. Don't scoff and ridicule. And if the Lord is convicting your heart, and you know you're guilty of your sin, then quickly confess and repent, and the blood of Jesus will wash you away of all your sins, and you'll be saved in the ark, and when the door is closed, judgment by fire has come, you'll be saved. In this ark, it will bring you to heaven. May the Lord help us. And may this warning speak to your heart. For us who are believers, be prepared. Be truly be peace. For those who are not saved and still do not believe, believe right now and you'll be saved. Don't wait anymore. And if you want to investigate further on the facts and the truth of the Genesis flood, I would recommend this book by Dr. John Wickham and Dr. Henry Morris. It's a classic, and you can read for yourself. It explains to you what the Genesis flood was all about. And it also warns us of the fiery judgment to come. This book is available at a book table outside. And also, Pastor's book on Calvin Institute's Abridged is also offered special price. Be prepared by knowing, reading, studying, and knowing the truth. And the more we know the truth, the more we'll be prepared and ready for the Lord's return. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to be ready, to be prepared when Jesus comes back and not be caught unawares. Many of the things in the world try to distract us. And Lord, help us not to be distracted, but to keep our focus, our concentration on Thee. To know that our life is not on this earth, but our life is in heaven, and we look for a better and a more glorious city to come. Our treasures that are in heaven, prepared by Jesus for us. So Lord, help us. That week by week, day by day, hour by hour, we will live for the Lord Jesus and not for this world. This we commit into thine hands. We commit our souls and our bodies into thine hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.